Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free, to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
And welcome to the food scene on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with Norberto Piattone and Henry Rich. So we gather around the smoldering embers emanating from Meta, a cozy wood fire restaurant that brings these two people to the kind of auspices of Nouveau Gaucho cuisine in Brooklyn's Fort Greene. Now, Norberto and Henry work without gas, creating an atmosphere lit up by menu highlights like slow-roasted lamb, smoked carrots, charred beets, short rib steaks with chimichurri, and a sweet potato dessert cooked in ash. Once the smoke clears, you'll find the gamut of complex and layered flavors develop through exploratory forms of fermentation, pickling and curing, constructing a whole new power source for their food and glowing aura. And so let's start at the most elemental thing that makes us humans, fire. What is this draw? Were either of you, you know, little arsonists growing up, obsessed with matches and lighting the brush?
Hi, Michael. Thank you. Basically, in my side, I grew up in South America and Argentina, where cook with fire is a normal thing. Then you see since you've grown up, because your family or every family in every house have a fire pit. So basically, it's just normal to see that techniques of cooking with fire and get knowledge since you're really young about the flavors of char and smoking and stuff in the grill.
Yeah, was this a similar upbringing? Did you have a hearth at your home, Henry?
No. I was an amateur arsonist. I think I blew up a lighter when I was 14 and it burned my eyebrows off. So, you know, working with Norberto has been a dream.
Yeah. But, I mean, this whole cooking without gas, a lot of restaurants maybe do induction because of HVAC regulations or the sort, but it was very intentional to say no gas, only fire at this restaurant. Why was that?
It basically was the idea, using fire as a technique of cooking. Basically, you create, as you say, different layers of flavors in food, and you can apply different techniques with the same fire, basically. We are no gas. We definitely have an electric oven and some inductions, but our main focus is use the fire for bring different layers of flavors in different vegetables and different meats than we use there.
It is such a centerpiece. When you walk in a Meta, it's beautiful and it glows, aside from, you know, being on that wonderful corner in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, with the light streaking in. Obviously, people are attracted to the flame like a moth, or the light like a moth. Henry, you have a few other restaurant projects you work in. What is this atmosphere that you try to create, and how do you lure diners to some kind of centerpiece?
Well, mostly we just try to respect the neighborhood and try to take the cues that it offers, certainly with Rucola. Being able to open a restaurant on that corner in that historic neighborhood a few blocks from, you know, where I first lived as a kid was, you know, that kind of formed this concept of trying to make, you know, the perfect neighborhood restaurant, which, you know, in my mind was kind of rustic Northern Italian. With Meta, my dream was that you might be able to see the glow of the fire from the park. Kind of as you're walking down. So we're on that corner and it's an open kitchen, and the glass makes it extremely open to the neighborhood. So I really wanted people to see that warmth from far away, and also kind of the ideas of transparency behind the restaurant and the sourcing and everything we're doing.
I think that even extends itself into the beverage program, because June, one of your other restaurants, is all about pushing forwards natural wine, and there's a lot of transparency in that kind of beverage.
Yeah. I've always, my first job out of college was working in a wine store, and I didn't know anything about natural wine at the time. But having June fully dedicated to that movement, it worked really well with the Meta program as well, with all the farms that Norberto is working with. It's a lot of the same principles also of kind of wild, spontaneous fermentation that we're using. These are things that I've been kind of catching up on with the natural wine movement. So the flavors, I think, work really well together too. Some of the smokier flavors of natural wines and the food, some of the more kind of wild acidities, and some of the fermented foods that Negro's making.
Yeah, I mean, you grew up, I wouldn't say in the wild, but you grew up around your father's farm full of goats and different kinds of crops.
Yes, I grew up around my grandfather's farm. He was a really good farmer, a really good cook, a human who respected a lot nature. So I was in touch with vegetable farming, with cow farming, with sheep farming since I was really young. And I was able to pick up my own vegetables and try the different of way until he go to sleep, a nap, and go steal the vegetables without seeing him doing it. And I would try everything that I could, the strawberries and everything. So I was able to understand from where all the vegetables and all these things come from a farm, and how hard it is to keep working in a farm also.
Yeah, was it about eating those things fresh? Was there a typical cuisine of where you were in Argentina? Like, is it gaucho cuisine? Is it something else?
Basically, where I grew up in my family was a lot of like Italian and Spanish influence, Mediterranean cuisine. Basically, it's our main influence in general in Argentina. You have different regions where you have a little bit more German influence or European, but basically where I grew up with my family was a lot of like fresh food. Basically, it's like a lot of salads, and having this farm with my grandfather, I was able to try a lot of fresh vegetables.
Yeah, it must be nice to actually have an Italian restaurant in Rucola and then see somebody kind of reinterpret what your idea of Italy or the foods of Italy is through a different country.
Yeah, I mean, I would say everything we're doing at Meta builds on a lot of the same principles. I mean, part of the reason we went Northern Italian with Rucola was I was really taken with the principles of the slow food movement, and Norberto just kind of cooks that way, I feel like, you know, instinctively. Not being a part of any particular movement, it's just it's worked really well for us in Fort Greene.
Yeah, because of this dissemination of Chef's Table and all this food media, you can't mention Francis Maumann when we're talking about your resume.
Of course.
And in that, you know, he has become this not caricature, but larger than life creature of what he's created in Argentina. I know you worked for him in Uruguay, right? Not in Argentina.
Yes, I started to work with him in Mendoza, in his restaurant there in Argentina, but just for 2-3 months. And after that, they moved to Uruguay to work in Garzón.
So what does it mean to work for somebody like that and then kind of come to such a small neighborhood in Brooklyn and be yourself there?
I don't know. It was great work with him. It was a lot of experience for me, and I cooked so many. I learned all the techniques can he use to use in fire. Then he basically took from ancestors in Argentina, and kind of with his knowledge about cooking around the world, put together and create his own food and his own scene of what he does. As you say, definitely is my resume. I have it on my back. I work with him. He became this huge chef right now, where everybody's talking about it. And definitely, it's a lot of people who sometimes believe that we're doing kind of Francis cuisine in Fort Greene, but it's like completely far away from his style of cooking. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I have on me all the techniques of cooking with fire. Then basically, I had that knowledge because I grew up cooking with fire, but then I perfectioned a lot of stuff working with him.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I see that kind of journey through your resume and your stop at Bar Tartine, who are wonderful people, wonderful friends, and their advocacy for fermentation. And this collision of these two things, you know, live fire cooking and fermentation is just, I mean, I still haven't really formed, I have an idea of what I want to say, but I don't know the words because it's just a category all its own right now.
Yeah, basically, if you take the two most elemental ways of cooking, are fire and fermentation, because people, it was preserving a food way back when they don't have any fridge or any system to preserve food. So basically, they was finding all these different techniques and also using fire because they don't have gas. So basically, kind of put together what it was kitchen before. We have technology and electricity and gas and all the stuff. So I think it's just reinterpretation of those two different old ways of cooking and preserving food, just putting together in the time that we are right now.
I mean, Henry, from a restaurant owner perspective, I think you must love fermentation because it helps food costs.
Yeah. there are challenges, but yeah. you know, certainly a low to, you know, hopefully on some days, no waste mentality is definitely in line with everything we're about there. I was just going to say one of the best things that I did in opening Meta was spending a week with Chef in Uruguay, going around to all of his different favorite restaurants down there. And I really, you know, got a sense of kind of the broader context of that country's cuisine and also the whole kind of like De La Plata, you know, area. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your favorite restaurants down there and why?
Oh, in Uruguay, one of my favorite restaurants is La Huella. It's this restaurant that is in José Ignacio. Then it's in the beach. It's like a dream. The food is great. You walk to the beach after eat, basically. That probably is one of my favorite places in Uruguay. Argentina, I have my favorite places in Buenos Aires. Like, it's a pizza place called El Cuartito. Then it's like a classic pizza place, and it's been there for many years. And then some, obviously, parrilladas, where you just get and eat all what you can. Then are in San Telmo and different places of Buenos Aires.
So it sounds like you want both location and neighborhood. And I know you're kind of using as, you know, Fort Greene Park as maybe, let's call it your beach. But then, you know, you want a local joint as well. How do you develop a restaurant or a following that kind of is both a destination but also ingrained in that neighborhood?
That's the challenge.
There's the rub.
Yeah, you know, we try to remain extremely warm and hospitable and, you know, have policies that, you know, make room for the neighborhood. So you try to keep your prices within reach. And we have most of the dining room available for walk-ins, you know, every night of the week. We take some reservations, but, you know, we try to do as much as we can to preference everyone that lives within a block, because as I know from Rucola, that really is, those are the people that stay with you year after year, and you need to make them happy first and foremost.
Well, I live right by Rucola, and that makes me very happy. What makes me unhappy is that Meta is so far away now, but I'm bringing myself closer and closer to it. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Buddhist concept of benevolence. You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We'll be right back.
Heritage Foods USA is a farm-to-table online butcher and founding sponsor of Heritage Radio Network.
Heritage Foods got its start when Patrick Martin's first stepped foot onto Frank Reese's Kansas farm in 2001. Back then, Frank was the only farmer in America raising true heritage turkeys with recorded lineages tracing back more than 150 years.
Patrick knew instantly he'd found a unique moment, an opportunity to go beyond acknowledging these breeds as being jeopardized and to actually do something to save them. Patrick asked Frank to ramp up production and made a promise to him that if he would raise them, Heritage Foods USA would sell them.
That was the moment that Heritage Foods' slogan, Eat 'em to Save 'em, was born. By creating a market for delicious meats from heritage breeds, we can ensure they'll be around for generations to come.
Plus, heritage breeds just taste a whole lot better. Learn more at heritagefoodsusa.com and use the code HERITAGERADIO for 2 free pork chops with your first order, brother.
Hey, and welcome back to the Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Here today with Norberto and Henry of Meta. What is Meta? Is Meta Meta?
2 T's and a macron over the A. Yeah. Meta is a form of loving kindness meditation that I went on a 10-day silent Vipassana retreat, and after 10 days of kind of your ego being flattened and then rebuilding itself, on the 11th day, they teach you this way of kind of sending kindness out into the world. And you think of everybody you know, and you think warm, loving thoughts. And it sounds a little silly, but it feels incredible. And that felt like a perfect analogy for hospitality and what we're trying to do in that restaurant, the way that we're trying to treat our guests.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think a lot of hospitality is healing, too. And in looking at your menu, I had one of the non-alcoholic, you know, cocktails, and you have ashwagandha in it, you know, Ayurvedic healing. And that's what Metta kind of feels like. It feels like a place to not only come and enjoy, but come and release something. Does it feel that same way? I know you have to work there all the time, but does it feel that same way to you?
Does it feel a little bit? And basically, one of the things, and I strongly believe in this, the food is very important, not just as feel like full and happy. If not, it's pretty influential in your health, and whatever you eat is going to make just your life better if you eat the right things. And I'm starting like over a year already investigating, like example, ashwagandha and the use of chaga, reishi, mushrooms, and different medicinal herbs that are around. Then I've been trying to incorporate to food. So basically, that is part also of the name. It's like we try to take care of the people who is eating there and not just putting some food in a plate. Then we believe then it's good enough. If not, then it's also bring you vitamins, minerals, and stuff that all we need to be strong and alive.
You know, you also get that sense and feeling from the space itself. It's wonderfully designed by Home Studio, but was there a specific kind of format or layout in mind?
Well, you know, Chef and I just took a bunch of pictures when we were down in Uruguay and, you know, found some other images. And we had a pretty clear idea that we wanted the space to be open and we wanted to be able to see the fire and have the chef's counter where people could, you know, see them working. But, you know, it was a great experience working with Home, work with them at June as well. And they really helped us kind of realize the vision for this Argentine farmhouse, basically, but appropriate for the neighborhood, so, and appropriate for 2017.
Yeah, yeah. Does it look like your house growing up?
Not really. I randomly grew up in a city that was prefabricated because the city where my family grew up was underwater after a press was built in the Uruguay River. So I grew up like in a modern city. Mm-hmm. Look all the same.
Yeah.
No, that's
not the same. And that's what's so lovely about Meta too, is that it's so distinctly different. It doesn't stick out like a sore thumb in any way. You did such a wonderful job organically integrating it into, again, that neighborhood and transporting us. Because when you sit down to eat, I'm still confounded as to what to say, because this collision of fire and fermentation is unlike anything I had ever really had before. But you realize that a wood fire oven isn't just about the flame. You know, it's about embers and ash and smoke and those elements. So how much wood do you go through, and how do you kind of sustain the idea of using that much wood to impart flavors in different ways?
So definitely we burn wood. It's not that we, but we are pretty, focusing how much wood and charcoal we burn every week. We try to keep it as low as possible. Definitely the way that we use, we start the fire, I would say, at 10 p.m. In the morning. And by 10:30, we have some chickens and some pork butts and some lamb legs hanging around the fire. So we basically using the radiant heat from the flame to slow roast those proteins. At the same time, we are creating embers. Then we use those embers to char the heart that we use for the carpaccio. We use the ember to heat the plancha where we char the beets that go in the dish. Also, we char in some cabbage over there that we're using for the cucumber salad. Basically, it's like the whole fire pit and the whole heart have that middle fire going on, but then the coals that are dropping from the box are moving around to use as a radiant heat, and then the radiant heat that comes from the flame is being used to use to cook those proteins that are around. Then the ashes that are hot are used to cook the sweet potatoes for the dessert, and then the ashes that are completely cold and shift and use as a base for the oysters mixed with water. So basically just we breaking down in pieces all the different sources of heat that we have.
But this is like the least a la minute restaurant I've ever seen. I mean, like, to do a pickup, you're like, wait, I have to go back to 10 a.m. and start the process over again. But you taste that time.
Yeah, definitely. It's what I say to everybody when I train in fire, you cannot control the fire completely. The fire is like our own life, and sometimes could be just day by day different. So it's something that you have to feel the heat. You have to feel. You have to be looking when you're cooking something until you are knowledge enough to kind of step out and say, okay, now I can leave these sweet potatoes, and I will come back in an hour, 45 minutes, and they will be ready. But that is the knowledge that you have to . As you said before, you have to keep retraining yourself what is fire about, because it could be different every day.
Well, I also, reading that menu, you have this wonderful slow roasted lamb in like lettuce cups, but then you also have a crispy lamb with like a sour soup. Is the crispy lamb just the slow roasted lamb that gets overcooked?
No, it's a different complete technique.
Yeah.
No, but it's a good question. So basically the crispy lamb then go in the soup is a lamb neck. Then it's seared in the plancha, in the heart. Then it's just a slow braise until it's really tender. We pull it apart, and then we just make it crispy in a cast iron skillet.
Yeah, that soup, again, you left me without words for a lot of the dishes that happen at this restaurant, because that soup, in Argentina, you'll have a piece of protein roasted to perfection, but you won't have that foil. You won't have that sourness.
No.
Why do you do that?
That is just because the food that I was supposed to eat and all the food that I was learning out of my country. Basically, at Mera, we don't follow strictly any cuisine from any country. We just create the stuff for what we like. And basically, it was like an influence of eating Polish sour soup, you know, like a pickled Polish soup, and then try that sour flavor and that funkiness. It's like, I would like to eat this with like a braised brisket or something like that, you know, because you need kind of that fat to kind of cut the sourness. And that is how we create that sour soup in Mera, just combining two cuisines and different flavors.
I would say the third thing that Chef threw in there, in addition to fire and fermentation, is just all of the medicinal, like actually medicinal things like ashwagandha and chaga and elecampane, things that I've had, you know, in the morning as tea, but I would never have thought to put it in a cocktail or a dessert. And those flavor profiles are really interesting and not things that I've had elsewhere. And that's really cool too, to have, you know, one of these medicinal things in your dessert so you can actually feel fine about eating it.
Yeah. I mean, I felt fine about eating everything there, and I will come back and have as much tonnado as you're willing to serve me. But again, like preservation or these fermentation techniques also goes into that pharmacopoeia. You know, we separated that at some point in kind of American cuisine, and we're only starting to see that, you know, like soda fountain pharmacy-esque idea that food is also medicine come back in the restaurant.
Yes. I mean, the word microbiome was invented like 15 years ago, something like that. So, yeah.
And a lot of
the beginning.
All the lacto-fermented techniques have a lot of probiotics on it, and are basically what you get in kombucha and yogurts and different things than everybody's eat normally.
honestly, the best preparation for opening this restaurant with Chef was opening June, probably, and learning more about all of the benefits of, you know, doing away with the machines, going with the indigenous yeasts, and you know, everything that's in natural wine. So
yeah, so Taraja Morel, who's a partner, has been on this show and also spoken the gospel of natural wines. And I know there's been a lot of flack of writers saying something about, oh, who cares about that? Just drink what you like. It matters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially for some people that are, you know, sensitive to sulfites and maybe trying to, you know, replenish their microbiome, or maybe they have some condition that they don't totally understand, but they feel better when they eat food with probiotic content. So, yeah, no, it definitely matters for me. I can, you know, drink more natural wine and feel better.
And that's the most important thing, too, yeah. Being able to drink more. But, you know, again, back to this healing thing, like, Norberto, you were saying, you know, it's not about just making someone feel full. It's about making somebody feel full in a different way. Have you kind of shifted the way you think about the menu now that you're getting more and more into this kind of healing property of food and metta?
Definitely shifting a little bit, not that much, because I'm not a strict vegetarian or anything like that. I eat everything. I consider that if it comes from a good source, it's going to be good for you if you eat responsibly. But definitely it's changed myself. I quit drinking more than a year ago, and I'm into the healing part and kind of don't take any medicines also. So it's challenging and it's really fun for me to start to incorporate this kind of medicines and different herbs and different roots in different things in the menu, you know. Kind of now we just put a new chocolate dessert. They have a chocolate crumble with reishi mushrooms, and they have a granita with a holy basil or tulsi. So it's like super food dessert.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
So somebody called us the other day saying they couldn't sleep after the dessert because it was so much energy. Then she she called back to ask what it was there so she can have it for breakfast.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, you just got to flip your schedule and start at 10 p.m. for slow roasting those chickens. Yeah. But, you know, it would be so amazing how people say, you have a cold, eat chicken soup for someone someday. Oh, you have this ailment, eat chimichurri. Yeah. I mean, if it was as simple as following a recipe that both sated you as well as healed you, you know, that would be the idyllic way of having not only a restaurant, but kind of eating for life.
Yeah, it's in Asian cuisine. Chinese do a lot of stuff like that. They basically create a dish thinking in what they put in there and what is beneficial for you.
I think the separation of eating for pleasure and eating for health is just, you know, it's been totally unnecessary. You know, I'll have this super healthy thing in the morning and then like a gigantic unhealthy sandwich for lunch, and I don't know, I've stopped bifurcating my eating like that. Mm-hmm. Since meeting Chef.
And again, coming to a restaurant that has such a kind of diverse and fascinating menu of flavor and texture, it also gives you time to kind of contemplate and sit. So you're not just eating to eat, to fill up. I remember even the porgy crudo, what was it, charred or fermented?
Charred fermented rams and preserved aji dulces.
Yeah, it's little elements like that. With the smoked carrots, it was creme fraiche, or
with the
it was a green sauce and farmer's cheese.
Like, yeah,
there are so many layers to everything that you sit there and your first bite's usually like, what the fuck did I just eat? What is this? And then you're like, oh my god, like I kind of know some of these things compartmentalized, but it all comes together, kind of like how we're trying to push again eating and healing together, and then you feel one with it.
Yeah. Completely. That is the whole idea, the whole point of what we're trying to achieve and create over there in the menu. It's definitely eating for pleasure, but also because you eating for your health, for yourself, to feel better after eating, not just food.
Well, I think everyone has to go experience this for themselves. And obviously, you know, any seat is wonderful in this house, but go sit at a chef's counter with that fire, with that flame, with that hearth in front of you, and feel better.
Yeah, definitely all this come to be completely transparent, you know. That's because we have an open kitchen, because we don't want to hide anything. Just we want to be transparent, and we want to show to people what we're doing there, and they can enjoy it.
Yeah, and you do it so well. Thank you both. I hope to be back to Meta soon.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. Hoping to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Big thank you to Heritage Foods USA. And, you know, there is that offer about pork chops, so order as quickly as you can. Music by Cookies and David Tatasciore Engineering. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.